The situation continues to remain very tense in Armenia, with the influx of the whole population of Artsakh forcibly deported there, while Azerbaijan continues to threaten to invade Armenia. To learn more about the current situation in Areni and surrounding areas, we're in touch with Len Weeks again to learn about the situation of the border village of Areni and how locals are helping the forcibly displaced refugees from Artsakh. Len, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Azerbaijan, Shtarkalutian, thank you very much for, you know, this opportunity. We, as you just mentioned, have been spending most of our time trying to help the refugees. I'd like to advise you that, you know, what the government is saying, that they had prepared 40,000 places or homes for refugees months before, because they knew it was going to be a cleanse, but that's another story. Actually, this is not correct. This is false information, because what they did was they rang around the villages, the municipalities, and asked how many empty houses there were. Now, you've probably been to Armenia and seen the deserted homes, none of them of which are livable, because they haven't been lived in for decades, some of them. But they counted times five people for each deserted house, and that's how they got the 40,000 number. I can tell you that we have been trying to find clothes, shoes, but even basic amenities like toilets, believe it or not, for these poor people who are being placed in some of the village homes, because, of course, some went to Yerevan and they found it was very expensive. Some have relatives there, so that's okay. But I believe the majority have returned to the rural area, which is a good thing. We want to populate the rural area, but there's absolutely no support for them other than the cash handouts, which we hear about for government. Now, we know this because we've been working with the refugees, interviewing them, and some of those interviews and information appears on my Straight Talk from the Homeland YouTube. Other than that, we're also, this is probably too much information, we're also supporting the defence of the homeland. We're doing whatever we can to get equipment to the brave men and women who are guarding this last vestige of Christian homeland. And as you said in your introduction, there are continuing threats. We do not believe the Prime Minister's calming noises about no attack being imminent. We are aware from the commanders that, in fact, the reverse is probably likely. Everyone is expecting an attack. And we even noticed that Blinken himself was reported to have stated that they're expecting an attack within the next week or two.
Len, how many settled in the area? Do we have an idea?
It may be needed to be updated, this number, but in the first few days, we had, I think, something like 250 in the Areni community. In Areni village itself, 150, though I believe it's closer to 200 now. And we've been visiting a lot of those. Actually, there's another YouTube channel, Armenian Life with Mitch. He's an Aussie, so a lot of your listeners will hopefully be following him. In concert with Mr. Mitch, we've been going to those homes and assessing the needs and, as I said, raising funds for those vital things, particularly as winter is on the way. So we want to make sure that people are warm and are able to survive. What they don't need is food, because the community has been helping to provide food, but other things like warm clothes and attention to sanitary needs, that's important.
Len, are there international relief agencies working in the area?
Yes. In fact, last week we've been twice to a refugee camp near a place called Yegiges, which is in Vyatsor, and that's run by His Eminence the Archbishop here, who's opened his doors to, I would say, the poorer, the less well-advantaged refugees. They have about 150 or something like that refugees in an old summer camp, an old Soviet summer camp there. So we met folk from Germany who had an NGO, and it was such a wonderful thing to watch them working with the children, many of them who have been traumatized, of course. The children are trying to play and trying to smile, but it's all a mask. You know, they've been through such terrible times. We know that USAID have been about, and we know that there are other organizations here. We also know that the European monitors have increased their presence in Yihgad Zora and other places. So, yes, there is quite an increase in international presence, and it's needed right now.
What about schooling for Artsakh refugee children? Are there enough places in the local schools?
I can't speak for every refugee, of course, but from our experience, I'll just talk about the ones near Yegigas. The younger ones are going to a local school, and I think there were four, if I'm not wrong, older students that were being bused to a more senior school because the more senior school wasn't available locally. So here in R&E, the simple matter of clothes was an impediment. So you'll see on one of Mr. Mitch's YouTube videos, the delivery of clothes brought delight to a young lady who could then go to school because she didn't have any clothes to wear. So yes, they're trying to be placed locally wherever they can.
Len, you mentioned the accommodation, which is not enough and quite old. Are some refugees in tents?
I'm not aware of refugees in tents. There could be. But generally speaking, the villages have opened their doors. Do not believe this nonsense that you might hear about some people saying, oh, they should go back or go somewhere else. So, Armenia is a country of gossip, and unfortunately, these sort of things we've heard sometimes. But from my perspective, all I've seen is good things, people doing what they can. And here I might mention that we have been overwhelmed with generosity from some of the diaspora there in Australia who have sent us and Mr. Mitch some donations to try and help with these basic needs that I was mentioning. Unfortunately, some of these donations are being held up because I only just found out recently that Armenia is not connected properly to the international banking system. So some of those donations are either held up for weeks or they go back to sender, or we get the stupid questions from our bank saying, the intermediary bank is asking, why is this small amount of money coming and who is this person and why is he sending money which is donated, Artsakh donation, you know, stupid things like that. So we have to deal with a lot of frustration with transactions, and of course we don't want anyone to think that there's anything untoward, but this does not help the situation. Nevertheless, we're doing our best to bring these donations to the benefit of the refugees. And even so, looking forward not just to the short term but also the longer term, we even have plans to try and build, shall I say, bright futures for these people, jobs and things like that, working with the Archbishop and the SUNYK Development NGO. We're trying to find the silver lining to this, to the horrors of this ethnic cleansing and genocide.
Len, you are very close to the border. How many villages or towns are near R&E and in danger if Azerbaijan decides to attack?
That's a very good question. So foremost is Khachik, which is just a few hundred meters from the border. And, of course, us, we sort of guard the valley of the Arpa River where it exits into Nakhchivan. And if you take the road from R&E towards Yerevan, you'll pass the villages Cheva and Yelpin. These villages are also not far from the border, but perhaps not quite as vulnerable as Khachik is. All of these areas on the mountaintops have the outposts, and I would ask the listeners to do whatever they can to support these brave men and women. We are in touch with people who are able to deliver special equipment. It is very, very frustrating, however, because there is a difficult process to procure special equipment to help these people. But nevertheless, we are trying, and that includes not just from Australia, but also from the United States diaspora who are in contact with us. So as you can see, we're coordinating quite a lot of activities. And if anybody wants to assist, then they can reach out to us directly, and we'd be happy for their support.
Len, has the government or local authorities warned the residents in your area about the potential dangers? Are authorities sort of making efforts to prepare the residents in case of an Azerbaijani incursion?
Well, the short answer to that question is no, but you should not be surprised by that, because, as you know, border villages have lived under the threat of Azeri attacks for decades, not just recently. If you go back to the 90s, in fact, there's an old school at the back of RNE which is still there, having been shelled. You can see where the destruction was. So we, of course, have made provisions. There are some neighbours who don't have shelters. We have a shelter that's authorised to take 50 people. So the municipality have advised these people that they can come here, and we're happy to help them. But essentially, as you know, in Armenia, you pretty much have to do things for yourself. You should not be waiting for the government to do something.
Len, thank you very much for the interview and the information, and wish you and your family all the best during these difficult times.
I just am grateful for the ability to reach out to people. I'm aware that people have their busy lives in Australia and elsewhere, and you know, and they, probably some people feel helpless, some people feel angry. Probably still some of the old habits of gossip and things like that go on. I would say to people, it's not a time for gossip and for, you know, disunity. It's a time to, right now the homeland is at a critical point. And if you're waiting for the 11th hour to fight back, then now is the time. So we hope that people are not overwhelmed by news in Ukraine and Israel and places like that, and are keeping the pressure on both the media and the politicians to get involved. They can do that by sharing some of the stuff that we are putting out there on social media and that. But please don't feel hopeless. It's not a time for losing hope and shrugging shoulders. It's a time for even greater activity than they have previously. So that's my small message to people there. Shnarkalutin. Hajo.